most difficult point. Go to Mark chapter 6 and verse 14. This is probably the most difficult part for me because God gave me what I prayed for, and it's hard to move off of that. There, we had people praying since, I think, 7 o'clock this morning, and we prayed for our normal things, but I asked God through them for Him to be present. Now, God's present, and He would love for us to do business with Him, but I feel like we're going to move on to the next thing when we don't have to. I'm not trying to goad you or make you do anything, but as a church, as a pastor of this church, I want to say this. God is the most important thing we do here. So if God's moving, don't think, well, God's moving, but we need to move on to the next thing that we do. If we get in the habit of doing that, what we do is say, God, we want to do church, but we don't really want to do You. Amen? And that's not what I want to do. I don't care if we sing. I don't care if we preach. I don't care if we do. What I want is I want to get in Christ Jesus. That's where we want to be. Now, I know what I've been called to do, and I know, and I'll do it if the Lord allows, but I don't want to preach just to be preaching. So when He's here and He's trying to pull you and draw you, it would be better if you say, okay, God, You can have me. You ain't gonna ruin our schedule because we don't got one. And that's not good English, but it's true. I've been preaching. I preached Friday. I preached today, Lord willing, and we'll preach tonight, Lord willing. And when I was looking at this from a 30,000-foot view, when I'm studying for messages, Mark chapter 6, verse 14 is where we're going to be. When I study for messages, I kind of get in the weeds. What I mean is I get right down in the Scriptures and I try to get into the depth of it. I rarely come up and look at it from a bird's eye view. Well, I got these three messages, and God, at the very end of them, when I figured out, okay, that's Friday, this is Sunday morning, and this is Sunday night, God took me all the way up and let me look at it from a different point of view. And I want to tell you this. What God was telling me is, church, if you believe in Him, you got to be willing to suffer for Him. It's not that simple, and it's not that easy. I'm going to read you a scripture, and it's a kind of a hard scripture to read to you, but I'm going to read it. You don't have to go there. It's Acts chapter 5, verse 41. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. Amen? Okay, what had happened is the apostles had stood for Christ. They'd done everything right. They preached the gospel. They followed Jesus. And then they got the opportunity to stand up and present the gospel and present Jesus Christ, and they were beaten for it. They were held in prison. They said, well, we're going to do something with them. And they said, well, all right, before we let them go, let's really whip them real good. And I don't know if you know what that means, but in the Jewish custom, it was 39 lashes, save one. I don't get that part, saving that 40th lash, but they had only hit you 39 times in the lower back and the lower part of your legs. So from the joint of your knee to your hindward parts, and then the lower part of your back and your back. 39 times with a reed that was so hard that would after about 10 lashes, it would break the skin and begin to eat into your flesh. And I want to say that there's this many men who love God, who following Jesus, and they were walking down the street bleeding, and if they stopped for about 5 minutes, all those wounds would start to heal, yet if they start to walk again, they'd almost fall over with pain. I know it's 2020, and I'm talking about suffering for Christ when we're trying to live our best life now, right? I want to say this. Sometimes you've got to go through it with Christ to see people saved. If you'll go through the suffering with Christ, one, other people will recognize it, and God's hand will be on you. Amen? Are y'all? So God gave me three messages, and this message right here is about John the Baptist, and it's about him suffering for Christ. And let's get into it. Y'all ready? And listen, if God deals your heart during the middle of this message and you feel like coming and praying, come, because it's got a lot of different layers to it. And King Herod heard of him. Y'all, is that where y'all are at? And King Herod heard of him, and his name was spread abroad. And he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Others said that this is Elias, and others said this is the prophet. This is a prophet, or as one of the prophets. But when Herod heard, therefore, he said, "It is John, whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead." It is the most important thing this morning as we sit here. If you walk out those doors, the most important thing I'm going to give you this morning is what I'm about to say out of my mouth. You better figure out who Jesus is. It's the only name under heaven where you must be saved. Not could be, not should be, not it's a good one. It's the only one that you must be saved. People since Jesus' time and after have wondered who he is. Is he a teacher? Is he a man sent from God? Is he Elijah? Is he John the Baptist? Is he some great teacher? I tell you this, who he is. He is a Savior. He is the Savior. He is the only begotten Son of God who, if you put your belief and trust in him, will take away the sin debt that you owe, yet and also the condemnation that comes with that. If you've never been forgiven, if you've never asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, if you're sitting here and you really don't know who Jesus is, you are now condemned. You are sitting in condemnation. Jesus, God looks at you and sees a sign on your forehead. It says condemned, like an old building waiting to be torn down. I know, it's bleak, preacher. Can you not give me something to make me feel good? Yes. God can take a condemned sign and change it to a non-condemned sign. For there now is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Can I preach there for a little bit? If you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, let me put it this way. If you believe in who he was, if you believe in that name and you repent of your sins and ask him to be the Lord of your life, he takes that sign that says condemned off and he puts a seal on your forehead. You can't see it, but praise God, God can. Y'all ain't a shouting bunch, but some of you that have a seal should be saying, "Hey, hallelujah. You are sealed unto the day of redemption." That doesn't mean you were put in a Ziploc bag and you're supposed to be do not touch or break out until redemption. It means that God has put something on you that says, "That's my child, and on the day of redemption, I'm coming for that one." Amen? Yeah. And I'm glad, I don't know about you, but I'm glad that you can't get the seal off. Praise God, some of you thought it was off. Some of you thought it's been scratched. Some of you thought it's been tattered. But praise God, I hate to tell you, just like the blood on the doorpost in the Old Testament in Egypt, the blood is still there. Remember when the death angel came by? Praise God, I hate to preach everything I know, but I'm here anyway. The death angel didn't go by each house and go, was there a good person in there? Was there a bad person in there? Did they do everything right or did they do everything wrong? He went by and said, "Is the blood on the door?" If the blood's on the door, no judgment's coming. If the blood's on your life, if you are sealed in Christ Jesus, there is no judgment coming your way. You will hear these words, "Enter in, my good and faithful servant. Enter in, my good and faithful servant." Hallelujah. Herod was tore up. I want to have a ministry like John the Baptist. I want to have a ministry that lives past the grave. Don't you want to have something that lives past the grave? All of a sudden, the name of Jesus, they say he's healing people, setting people free, preaching the gospel. He's radical. And all Herod went is, "Man, that John the Baptist has got up out the grave." He was living rent-free in Herod's mind. Amen?
I want you to hear this. I hope, praise God, that I have preached and lived in such a way that when I'm gone, people think, man, I still need to do something with Jesus. I still need, man, that crazy guy had me thinking about Jesus. Man, that's the way you want to live your life. A little bit past the grave. Amen? And you know what? What gets me every time too when I think about it? When Jesus showed up, they thought he was Jesus. Wouldn't you like to be mistaken for Christ? Don't get mad at it. Don't say, you know, wouldn't you be the only person that represents Christ to some people? Christ comes along and all of a sudden they look back at John the Baptist and say, wait a minute, wasn't you the one? Wasn't you like him? And every time John would say, no, I'm not even worthy to latch the man's shoes. I can point you to him, but I ain't him. I love that, don't you? He can point to him, but he can't. He say, I ain't him. I want to point people to Jesus so when they do meet him, they'll say, hey, there was another guy, there was another girl that told me about him. You kind of remind me of them. There's something about you that's the same as them. You know what it is? It's the Holy Spirit of God. If the Holy Spirit of God resides in you, it is Christ-like. Oh, that's a whole other message. I would like to preach it, but some of you, I don't know. Y'all want to move on? Verse 16, but when Herod heard, therefore he said, it is John whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead. Verse 17, for Herod himself had sent forth. Now listen, let's stop, pump the brakes real quick. That was present tense. Y'all good? That was present tense. Jesus had showed up and they're living in the moment. Then all of a sudden the Bible opens up to us what happened to John the Baptist. This is past tense. Amen? This is what happened. So when I told you about the suffering part, I want to tell you this. John was a great man. The Bible says it this way. There is none greater born of a woman than John the Baptist. Right? But he is the least of these in heaven, right? Golly, I'm preaching, but y'all don't know. I'm just saying, John was a good man, right? John was beheaded. I want to read in the Bible, I want to see where God took the forerunner of Christ and did a Holy Ghost jailbreak. And I'm wondering sometimes if John the Baptist wasn't sitting down there going, is there ever going to be a Holy Ghost jailbreak? Remember, he sent word out. He said, hey, is this the Messiah or do we have to look for another? Oh, come on. Y'all don't like that kind of the Bible because we want to put people up on pedestals and they're perfect and they never second think anything. John the Baptist was in prison, and in prison after a while, he started saying, the devil would get on his shoulder and say, what if you got it all wrong? Golly, you can get in places as a Christian that you look around and think, maybe I got it all wrong. But if you did it for Christ, even a wrong place can turn into a right place. Because you know what Jesus said? Go tell him. Y'all ain't got to go tell him. Tell him what? The blind are seeing. The lame are walking. Amen? The deaf are hearing. And guess what? The poor are receiving the gospel. Man, I wish y'all get this. I hope we're not just trying to make it to church. Listen to me. Wouldn't it be cool if God sent you a direct message? Hey, you're running well. You got it right. Your present circumstance and your present suffering is not an indication of how much I love you and how much I care for you and what I mean. Golly, Bob. Some of you are sitting right here this morning in a situation and you're thinking that God doesn't love you because you're in a situation that you think that he's out of control. And he's never loved you anymore. Why'd you let me be this sick? Why'd you let this happen? Why is this going on in my family? Why is this going on in my marriage? And God's sitting there going, where you can shine for me in a difficult place. I needed illumination. I needed light in a dark place where dark people can see that I am God. Trust me in the hard places, and I will bless you. Trust me in the hard places, and I will save folks. Because we talk about salvation and we talk about it in this church and we talk about it in our ministries. But God is trying to do more than just get you through this life. He's trying to save people around you. There are lost people, and the only gospel, the only message they're going to hear is you going through a hard time with Jesus. Because you're going to go through hard times. It just matters if we're going to be with Jesus or not. Whew. And Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in the prison and Herodias, for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. He was a wicked man. Herod took his brother's wife. Some people think that she might even been his niece. And he married her. He had lust for her. And John, being this radical Christian that he was, looks at the king, and when kings can have your head just lopped off, went, hey, you're not supposed to do that. I know we live in 2020 when we're not supposed to call sin sin, and we're not supposed to identify anything as wrong or right. We just got to act like, hey, we can morph and make this Bible say anything we want it to say, but that ain't the case. John looked at the situation and said, hey, you're living a wicked life, and you need to change. And it didn't make Herod mad. It just made Herodias's, it made Herod's wife mad. Oh, man. For John, verse 18, for John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have him killed, but she could not. Could you imagine living with Herodias and being King Herod? Some of y'all better put your head down. Don't look directly at me. I won't look at you either. Every day, you got somebody that you're married to that's pulling in one direction, and you're pulling in another direction. I want the God man to live. I want the God man to die. I wish you would extinguish the God man. I can't. I want to get rid of him. I want him to live in my life. He's saying radical stuff, but it's penetrating my heart. I want you to kill it. That's what people, some even people in this room, are going through. They worship God here and they struggle at home. They talk about God here, but they wrestle with sin and each other at home. Let's glorify, let's lift up, let's have the God man in every area of our life. Let's kill him because he's destroying everything that we used to call fun. We can't do the things that we used to do with you being convicted and you falling into prayer and dealing with this. Would you just kill it or we can get on with our lives? Verse 20, it gets weirder. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just and holy man. Uh-oh, conflict. Watch this. This is one of the neatest verses I've ever seen in the Bible. And he observed him. Are you listening? And he observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things. Listen to this. I want you to hear this last part, verse 20. Last part, listen. And heard him. I wonder if Herod would go down to the jail cell and say, John, will you do it again? Yes. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is coming. Turn from your wicked ways and be saved. He would watch him. He would listen to him. And he would say, man, I love this guy. He's got the best messages. He was like a vegetarian who eats meat. He was a sinner who was lost and living a wicked life. Yet he loved the messages. And I wonder how many people we have coming to church who are living in sin, but they love the messages. I love the way you deliver them. Man, it's exciting. Boy, it stirs something up in me. But I got to go upstairs here in a little bit and live my life. How am I going to do that? If you change who I am, I'm going to have to give up everything. I'm afraid that we're coming into the jail cell of the man of God and saying, we're coming into the sanctuary and saying, bless me again with a message that says, radically give me everything. Radically show me who you are. Yet when I walk out these doors, I'm going to go right back to my wicked life because I don't know if I can handle that or not. And here's where the message is. It's called strategic.
Your enemy is strategic. Very strategic. You better be strategic. Verse 21, and when a convenient day was come, that word right there, convenient, that's the word I would like to put in there as strategic day. Amen? Think about it. You get to study it, you'll see it. It's a convenient day. It's the day that the enemy went, aha, aha, I'm going to make you choose. I'm going to make you make a decision. I'm going to make you decide. Do you want God or do you want the world? And I'm going to set you up to take and choose the world. Do you know your enemy will set you up to make a decision to go with the world instead of going with God? If y'all don't believe me, watch. It's going to get real strategic right here. And when it was convenient, the day was come, Herodias is convenient. That's who the enemy was using. That Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains, and chief estates of Galilee. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto her, unto the damsel, ask me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it to thee. She waited for a prideful day. And she waited for a day of lust. And I know for a fact this is his niece. This is his brother's daughter. This is that place where you say, I'll never go. You might want to write this down if you're listening to me this morning. Sin never, ever stops at a place where you can handle it or where it doesn't get sick or gross. It's always got levels. That way, when the devil gets you in and your flesh gets you to a sinful place that you get to, you always say this, I never intended to do that. That's not who I wanted to be. But that's where he'll take you. He took Herod. All of a sudden, he said, it's my birthday. I got all my friends with me. Pride. I'm the king and it's my birthday. And all of a sudden, here comes his niece out there dancing. The devil set him up. His wife set him up. She knew, you know what? He's not listening to me. Let me put something else out there that he will listen to. Man, I'm preaching better than y'all are listening. I want to listen. The devil will reset a trap for you. If it ain't working anymore, he'll change bait. He will go back and reset. I wish I had some real men in here. Every once in a while, I say, yeah, he's reset me a couple times. He's reset me a couple times. What does that mean? You get to the point where you can recognize him, he'll go back and he'll just make it subtle. See, the devil don't show up with a pitchfork and horns and a red suit. He shows up sexy, voluptuous, and enticing, and he starts over and he makes it look like it ain't as bad as it used to be. Hey, man, preacher, you're preaching pretty good. Some of y'all quit using drugs. Some of you quit smoking. Quit lying. Quit running. Guess what? But all the way back, I just like listening to that one song. Oh, yeah, get mad at me. Walk out because I'm talking about music. Well, I just watched that one movie. It just had a little cursing in it. Just a little nudity. Yeah, we all started out with a little nudity. Yeah, we can compromise, though. All I'm doing is just tapping foot with the devil. Anybody I ever tapped foot with, I ended up holding hands with. Anybody I ever held hands with, I was going to try to kiss them. And if we, golly, we act like we, y'all so spiritual. If we go into first base, let's make it a home run. Oh, never mind. I'm sorry. Y'all talk to me at the church. I don't believe you talking like that. Well, everybody in here is dealing with something. Amen. Brought in his daughter. So you got pride and lust. And look what's coming next. And he swear unto her, verse 23, and he swear unto her, whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, and I will give it to thee unto the half of my kingdom. Man, if I was in a real church, if I was in a real place right now, and we're in a real church, but I would say something like this. Have you ever said something when you were in full-blown lust and pride that you wished you could take back? All you men, you better say amen real quick or I'm going to call you out. He got so
tore up and excited in his lust and pride that he said, I will give you anything you want up to half the kingdom. Oh, gosh. He's already out over his skis. He's already leaned out and done something. He's already committed. See, when he spoke that, he had already said, he told the enemy, you got me. Be careful of lustful places and prideful places, because you'll give away what the devil's been wanting from you forever. Have you noticed that he ain't talking about John the Baptist's messages anymore? He's way outside of that right now. Some of y'all are going to come to church here and you're going to say, man, that was great singing, great worship, great teaching, great preaching, great, great, great. But you're going to be out there and you're going to be in full-blown drug addiction. You're going to be in a jailhouse. You're going to be in a place of sin. And you're going to sit there and go, why did it happen to me? Because you didn't apply it. And the devil's going to make you make a choice. And she went forth and said unto her mother, what shall I ask you? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. Pride, lust, anger. See it? Some people's anger will keep them forever seeing a good thing. Oh, y'all don't get this. She's so mad at John the Baptist for calling out her sin that when her daughter has the opportunity to change her whole life, she says, what do you want, Mom? She could have said, I would like for you to get a big pot of land, and I'd like for you to start over, find you a good man, and do this. You know what she said? I want you to go in there and fulfill my anger. Some of you mothers and some of you fathers are passing on your anger and your bitterness and your the worst parts of you instead of the best parts of you. You better get revenge for me. You better remember who I am. It ain't about you. It's about me. Go get his head and bring it to me. Amen? So you got pride, you got lust, and you got anger and bitterness. And man, what a stew. Amen? What's this? And she came straightway with haste to the king in verse 25 and asked him, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charge, the head of John the Baptist. Whew. Pride, lust, anger, ignorance. I'm not calling you a bad name. I'm not saying ignorance is only the lack of knowledge. It's not stupidity, it's not knowing. Here's a girl who could have her whole life changed. But because her father, now the man that she's married, her mom married to, and the bitterness and anger of her mom, she goes into a situation where she could change her whole life for the better, but in her ignorance, she wants to please the wickedness of her mom. Have you ever seen somebody and wondered, why do you make the decisions that you make? That is, why are you doing that? It's the only thing I know. My mom left my dad, and the man she's married to now is in love with me too. Hello. And I've danced for him. And then I go to my mom, and my mom's so angry. All she wants, and I've always, God, I wish I could preach to some of you. All I've ever really wanted to do was find my daddy. I would dance for a man just to find my daddy. Y'all get that when you get home. And all I ever want to do is please my mama. There's some of you here trying to please your mama still today, and she ain't even with us anymore. And in my ignorance, I don't know how to make a good decision. We judge people really quick. We think, man, I wish they'd make better decisions. They've never had a blueprint on how to change and make decisions. See, Christians, we were supposed to come along people like that and be a stake beside them, as when the seed broke the ground, we were supposed to tie ourselves to them. That way they would grow straight. You don't have to tell them everything to do. You can just show them by your actions. And all of a sudden they say, oh, you're not supposed to do that with money? Oh, is that not a good relationship to be in? Why? Well, let me tell you why. Amen? Okay.
Verse 26, and the king was exceedingly sorry. Have you ever been sorry, but you're still going to do it wrong? I have. Have you ever been to that place? I guarantee you, listen, I'm preaching to you. Just don't want you to get it. There's a place. There's a threshold. You can see your feet going into the place. You can see your actions. You can see the doors opening. You can see you're about to do something, and God's sitting there going, don't do this. If you go past this point right here, this ain't going to be good for you. Amen? And the king was exceedingly sorry, yet for his oath's sake and for the sakes which sat for the, oh, golly, bum. Can I preach this? For their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. Some of y'all are living your Christian life based on what the people to your left and right think. I don't want to change because I said it, and I don't want to change because I've already run my mouth, and I don't want these people to my left and right. Can I tell you this? Those people to your left and right aren't going to be there when you stand before Christ. And the people that are with you, man, it would be better if you chose Christ instead of chose the same path that they're on. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought to be brought, and he went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head into a charger and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. And when the disciples heard it, they came, took up the corpse and laid it in the tomb. And the apostles gathered together themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And that's a hard place. I'm like sitting there going, Jesus, this is John the Baptist. Why didn't you show up and rescue him? You want to write this down, because this is where we're going to close. I didn't know where I was going to land this plane, but I know exactly where it is now. I did rescue him. I rescued him when I put my spirit in his life. See, some of you think sometimes God has to rescue me over and over and over. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you should already know this. He's already rescued you. You're as rescued as you ever gonna be. Scott, come get a song. Everybody else stand. Listen to this. I was thinking about this the other day. Have y'all ever seen a real bad exit from Earth? Anybody ever seen a real bad exit from Earth? Cancer? Heart problems? Laying in the bed sick? Laying in the bed dying? You just kind of waiting? I was thinking about this the other day. I was just thinking about when we were getting ready for this message. Man, it sounds pretty dramatic when they say, go get the executioner, run down there, lay John down, cut his head off, take his head up to Herodias. Come on, just stay with me just for one more minute. And I'm going to close. Are y'all hearing me? The second that John's spirit left his body, he was walking on streets of gold. No, there was a great crowd of witnesses who were going, welcome home! Amen. Well done! My God, you ran well! Man, you're amazing! It was like a soldier coming back after a great war. You walked in there and it said, my God, it was a triumphant entry. And guess what? That lasts for eternity.
Amen.
I've had the awesome opportunity to watch dear, beautiful saints pass out of this life into the next life. And I thought things like, she left kids, she left a husband, she left so much. But then right on the other side, she gained family, she gained friends, she gained everything. Then she gained Jesus. And you know what? In just a little bit of time in heaven, just a little bit of time, next thing you know, the husband came home, the kids came home, the family came home, and they said, oh, praise God, that wasn't the worst day, that was the best day for a saved person. Do you know who Jesus is this morning? Do you know with a shadow of a doubt? My preacher used to say this all the time. Do you know that you know
that you know. If you died today, would you be in heaven? If there is one doubt in your mind about that answer, this is the time for you. You step out, you run to this altar, and you say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins and be the Lord of my life. I need that. And you know what? Not only will He change that, but He'll change you for the better. Amen. Don't leave here this morning without doing that.